Would you turn, please, to that reading we had earlier, 1 Chronicles chapter 29?
There's a little phrase in it, but it's so weighty, and we want to give some thought to it. I know it's the time usually that you're getting set to go home after the service, but we'll not keep you too long at all. I said this morning it would be a brief message, and we'll keep to that. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer as we come to this final part of our service tonight. Our Father, we thank you for this service, for helping thy servants, and we thank you for being so good to us, and we pray that thou wilt work mightily among us in our hearts and lives during this closing part of the service now. May the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified. Do thou great things and mighty, and help me to preach with power. Grant the anointing of the Holy Ghost for this responsibility, this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I just remind us before we come to the text that our retiring offerings for the missionary, for the radio ministry that normally fall today will fall on the last Sunday of the month, and instead we have been taking offerings following the services today for Grace in support of her at this time. And many times in God's Word we come across words or texts or phrases that give to us great comfort, many of them. And those who are often in deep distress, whether it's sorrow, distress on account of sorrow, or distress on account of failure, or distress on account of loss, will find great comfort from God's Word. And also, there are many occasions when we come across words that formulate commandments. We have, of course, the well-known, the most fundamental Decalogue, otherwise known as the Ten Commandments, that were given to Israel and to the world through Moses on Mount Sinai long ago. And there are many commandments in God's Word. But not only are the words designed to comfort, words designed to command, there are words designed to challenge. And there are many challenges. And we think of them often when the Lord, through His servant, said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Or, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Or, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" And there's none so stirring and so thrilling as what we read earlier in God's Word tonight from 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and the last part of verse 5. "Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" What a challenge. And for a few minutes, I want to consider this challenge with you. And there are really two great matters in it that stand out to the fore. We have to read the verses that follow that in order to get the understanding of it properly. But notice, first of all, the requirement that this challenge presents. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? You'll notice the nature of it. First of all, it's a consecrating of the servants. Now, if you have a Bible there with a margin in it, you will find that beside the word consecrate, there's the figure 1. Trace it into the margin, and it gives you a Hebrew reading, and it is fill his hand. You might say, well, what does that mean? It means that in the Old Testament, very often, when the priests were consecrated, the very same word is used here, fill your hand, to bring an offering to the Lord. And that's exactly what this type of offering is that David is challenging these people with. It's to bring their provision, it's to bring their gifts, it's to bring of their substance, it's to fill their hands with it for the service of something mighty that was about to take place. And that brings me to the second thing I want to say about this requirement. Not only the nature of it, but the need for it. The venture is, a great temple was to be built. Now you'll find your way back in the earlier chapters, chapter 21, chapter 22 particularly, you'll find that this temple was something uppermost in David's mind. But God said to him, David, I know your heart's in it, because your hands are stained with blood when you were fighting the wars. It's not for you to build this temple. Your son Solomon will do it. So what David did then was, God gave David the plan. David gathered up the materials that were needed from all the spoils of war, from the gifts that other kings gave him, out of his own personal possessions. He started a fund going. And now the time has come that this great temple would be built. It was a tremendous venture. Look at chapter 29, verse 1, the middle of the verse. The work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. And in chapter 22, verse 5, it's called Magnifical. And what a structure it would turn out to be. But there's not only the need for it, and that's the venture, there's the expenditure that was entailed. If you read down here again all of what we read earlier, you'll find the materials, the precious stones, the gold, the brass, the iron, the silver that was given amounted to great expenditure. For instance, we read of the talents of gold, it amounted to 100 tons of gold. Can you imagine that? And 240 tons of silver. That's just some of the figures. Great expenditure to be involved. But here's the question for us. Are we meeting the requirement? Are we willing to consecrate our service this day to the Lord? Now, we're not thinking tonight of a material temple. Somebody once said that in the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people, but in the New Testament, God has his people for a temple. We're thinking of the work of God in its totally spiritual dimension. It's a great work. It's a magnificent work. It's a work that means the transforming of lives of men and women and boys and girls throughout the world. Many years ago, I received a letter. Many years ago. The lady's dead now. I was just thinking about it the other night. She sent a lovely letter with a check for £50. Now, £50 is a good bit of money today, but it was worth much more 20 years ago. And in the letter was, in the envelope, along with a £50 check, was a lovely letter, part of which said, the water that we partake of every day is free. It was then. That'll probably change over the next few years, but it was then. And she says, the water is free, but it costs money to pipe it into our homes. She says, the gospel of Jesus Christ is free, but it costs money to get it out to the ends of the earth. Please accept this check to help with that expenditure. And we tonight need to be willing to contribute and to consecrate and to fill our hand, as it were, with possessions in order that we might forward the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's only part of it, friend. We ought to be consecrating our service of time. Time is the most precious thing that anyone has. The wonderful thing is, every one of us here have been given the same amount of it by the Lord. What kind of stewards are we of it? Do we have time for God in His work, not only on Sunday, but through the week? Does our time be sanctified in its use by God's dictation to us, God's determination of us? We need to consecrate our time. And what about our energy? You know, time and time again, as we read in God's Word, the kind of service that God is looking for is characterized by very strong words. For instance, we are told that God wants laborers. Now, a laborer stands in contradistinction to loafers. A laborer is somebody who exerts himself or exerts herself. We're told that we are workmen that need not to be shaped. Workmen are people at work. And you'll find that God wants strenuous, stretched out Christian service. In fact, we read of a man in the book of Philippians chapter 2 called Epaphroditus. And Paul, writing about him, said, for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Do we know anything about strenuous service? Are we willing to consecrate our energy, our time, our possessions? What about our abilities? Every one of us here have got some abilities. Maybe you're not fully au fait with yours yet. But if you're a Christian, you should be searching, because God has given every Christian a gift or gifts whenever they have become Christians. And God has endowed people with certain talents and capabilities with a sole purpose that they all be used in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ in some way. And I'm asking you tonight on behalf of the Lord in this text, who then is willing to consecrate his abilities to the Lord? Who then is willing to consecrate his energies to the Lord? Who then is willing to consecrate his possessions to the Lord? Who then is willing to consecrate his time to the Lord? That's the challenge. It's the challenge that David set out. The requirement of the challenge. But notice secondly and lastly, the response that it received. Oh, I think this is tremendous. Notice again in verse 5, let's just look at that last part of verse 5 before we see the linkage. And who then is willing to consecrate a service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God. Verse 8. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord. Verse 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. Notice very quickly four matters about that response. First of all, it was positive. They didn't shy away from the challenge. They didn't say, oh, not for me, not for me. It's a great gathering that the king assembled here today, but now when we're here, he's looking this, not for me. Not at all. They were all positive in their response. The Bible says on a couple of occasions, they offered and gave willingly. It was a positive response. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, would you make a positive response of yourself and all that you are and have and all of your capabilities to God tonight for the furtherance of his work? That would be positive. But you'll notice it was gracious. There was no coercion. It was done freely and willingly. Didn't you notice in that reading there that it was comprehensive? There was the wealthy, there were the nobles, the rulers, the priests, the heads of tribes. It was so comprehensive, so widespread, so all-embracing. They took to the cause that David was presenting to them, and which they knew was God's will. And is God's cause in the world tonight the reaching of the sinner with the gospel of Christ, the seeking to establish a testimony in the world, to seek to be salt and light? Are they not noble aims for the Church of Jesus Christ that we can give ourselves to? All of us. It was positive, it was gracious, it was comprehensive, it was generous. Oh, so generous. I've already told you that the gold amounted to 100 tons, 240 tons of silver, and hundreds of tons for the other metals that were used. But let me add a fourth. It was all done promptly. Notice again verse 5, the end. Who then is willing to consecrate a service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers gave. Then, right away. They did not have to go home and think all about it. They said, our hearts are moved. God is in this. God is calling me to this. And such a widespread, comprehensive scope and scale and reach there was that day, as the people brought all of their contributions to start off the great temple fund. Are we willing this day to consecrate our service to the Lord? Let me say to the congregation at large, is there not something more, do you not think, that God has for you than the usual routine you've been going through for years? that maybe has lost its freshness because your heart's not in it, going through the routine of living out the Christian life. But rather, God wants you to launch out into the deep. He wants you to consecrate yourself afresh to Him this day. Oh, the change of dimension that your life will take on if you're willing to yield yourself without reserve to Him. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 12 something like this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices unto Him, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. If God said, I want your soul, we might have a hard job wondering exactly what our soul is. And there are theological arguments between the soul and the spirit, but there are no difficulties whatsoever knowing what our bodies are. Our hands, our feet, our eyes, our lips, our tongues, our minds, all to be consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ and His cause. But young people, what about you? So many of you in God's house tonight, all over the building, have you ever thought that there's something more to life than just what you're going through now? The Lord has been working in Grace's life, unknown to many of us, for a long period of time. And look where it's taken her. The joy in her heart, confidence that she's in now in God's will, in the service of the Lord. A future ahead of her that's sold out entirely to the Master. Would you not consecrate your service tonight, young people, to Him? Would you not give yourself afresh? We need Sunday school teachers and children's workers here. And young people are suited well for that type of work. But they need to be consecrated, young people. Would you not give your life over without reserve to Him? Young people and older people alike, not saved. You've been living for self. You've been living to pursue your own selfish ends, no matter about anything else. Is there not time tonight for a change, for you to consider your ways and to remember now your Creator in the days of your youth? Would you not consecrate that young life of yours and say, Lord, I've been living it without Thee for years. The time has come now that I must lay my all upon the altar. I must take Christ to be my Savior. I must receive Him into my heart and life. And whatever's left of my life in terms of years, I want it wholly to be at Thy disposal. Would you do it? Who then is willing this day to consecrate his service unto the Lord? What a response was made. Will you be included in that response tonight?